This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is an
ESPN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosie Brick said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ESPN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Everybody that listens needs a Don injection.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I'm surprised you've been able to keep it up for as long as you have.
Anthony's really locked in today.
Have we ever had the possibility of two drops go at each other that were uttered in the same show, just mere minutes apart from each other? Those two drops will be in Drop Madness. They're outstanding.
I believe the Don. Let me hear both one more time. The Michael drop first.
Everybody that listens needs a Don injection.
That's pretty good. And then Don's.
I'm surprised you've been able to keep it up for as long as you have. It's funny. It's inquisitive.
It's about my clothing, yet it sounds like something else altogether. Let's start out with some Super Bowl news, shall we? According to Diana Rossini, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown both expected to be able to play.
Yeah.
I don't think I care.
I do.
Why?
Sammy Watkins as well.
I just like to see people get third, fourth chances.
No, I just don't think they have that much of an effect on the game.
No, I think you're wrong.
I disagree
Antonio
about
Brown has an effect.
Yeah, I disagree about Antonio Brown. That adds a whole another dimension you just have to pay attention to.
Both of you have to watch out about tipping your hand. You're both picking against each other for first place. You can't tell us which way you're leaning.
Well, it's going to be very difficult since this is the game we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks.
I know, but I mean, you got to be very savvy.
Yeah, you're being savvy is what you're doing because you're paying attention to what I have to say. Because I don't think you had any conviction in your picks last week.
You know what? You can say whatever you want. I'm the one who won.
Peter and I were an open book, so you knew.
Right. You knew what I wanted, too. And that's why I am. John Heyman reporting Marcus Simeon, the quarterback formerly of the A's, is signing with the Jays. That's a nice pickup.
No one cares.
Hey, guys, let's talk Aaron Rodgers, shall we?
Why not?
He was on his weekly spot with Pat McAfee, and he talked about the trade rumors and his potential leverage, or as it's being described, with the Green Bay Packers.
In general, that's a weird way to look at it. You know, you start talking about leverage and different things. I don't know. The only leverage I feel like that I have is the way I play, and that speaks for itself. Thanks to Tom Fanning. Like, I did see, you know, some of these comments being made, and I don't want to go through them one by one and talk about, you know, the falsehoods being said out there, but I haven't even had the conversations yet. Look, this is day two. Yesterday was exit meetings, and so I had my meetings with my quarterback coach and offense coordinator, and you say goodbye to your teammates and stuff, and then you start to clean your locker out, but I'm around this week, so I'm not like jetting out of town and sayonara Green Bay. Like, there's conversations to be had. I'm going to have them with the right people, but it's the same conversation we have every single year. You know, there's nothing big, you know, I'm going to come to the table with, you know, I need this and this and this. Like, we have honest conversations about where we're at every single year, and whether that's with Brian, Matt, Mark, I've had these conversations for years. I think it's part of like being a leader on the squad and having a pulse of the team and the direction that we're going. And we'll have the same conversations we do every year.
Have either of you guys been to Green Bay?
No, it's definitely on my bucket list.
I'll tell you what. I think of every single professional sports team, that is the single least big-time city. Now, I love it, but it would be like giving a professional sports team to New Rochelle. It would never happen because, you know, it's grandfathered into when the NFL started.
Right.
There's no way a Green Bay would ever, and it couldn't survive in baseball without revenue sharing. But Green Bay's on the same footing as the LA Rams. It's amazing.
And what I found interesting, I think you got this text from Andrew, like showing the monstrous ratings that Kansas City got for the game.
Mm-hmm.
When they give the ratings for Green Bay, they got to give you Milwaukee.
Yeah.
There's no ratings for Green Bay. They're not they got to go to the next closest city, which is Milwaukee, which, if you remember, they used to play two home games in Milwaukee back in the day.
Well, they are also still like a Milwaukee team, a Jays, no?
But it's a little hike from Milwaukee. Again, it'd be like New Rochelle getting a team. Okay, it's close to New York, but it's not New York.
Yeah, how far is it? What is the distance?
I think there's about Milwaukee might be about an hour.
So it's like the Islanders.
What do you mean?
The Islanders are the New York Islanders. They're not called, well, it doesn't matter what they're called. Long Island's,
they're not the Long Island Islanders, they're the New York Islanders. They're in New York.
Well,
it is the smallest town of any professional sports team, I think, in the ever. They used to play a couple of games in Milwaukee just to go to a big town.
So, Doc,
they had two games a year in Milwaukee.
So are you saying the New York Islanders are the state of New York Islanders?
I guess, right, Don?
Yeah, and they're not the Long Island Islanders. They're the New York Islanders.
But if they're the New York Islanders, they don't play particularly close to New York, but I guess it's only 15 miles.
But they are.
Anthony Greek says it's an hour and 47 minutes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. 117 miles between Green Bay and Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's nothing close, because even like the Canadian cities like Winnipeg, Edmonton, for Canada, those are big cities. But Green Bay's still smaller than Winnipeg or Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
tiny.
What
would be second?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a humongous star, right? And he's, the State Farm commercial, and he's in the smallest market of any professional sports team.
That's
and it
why,
shows you don't have to play in New York anymore.
Well, that's why we were arguing with Keyshawn last week when he was talking about, you know, Watson wanting to go to New York because it'll mean more money for endorsements. If he becomes a superstar and plays at the level of Rodgers and consistently in the playoffs, he can play anywhere.
Hey, like you said, you got Aaron Rodgers. JJ Watt has become a huge endorser playing in Houston. Yeah. Houston's a big – I think Houston's the fourth biggest market in the country.
What would you guys guess is the population of Green Bay?
112,000?
No, I wouldn't doubt if it's like maybe 25,000.
Andrew, you want to weigh in? Because they're not close.
Okay. I would say way less. 30, 40?
30, 40 people.
1,000.
Got it. Metro Green Bay has a population of 320,000.
Oh, it's a thriving metropolis.
It's the 157th biggest city in the country.
All right, so 157. So I'm going to get the list.
Wait, but hold on. I want to correct this. Metro's 320. The city of Green Bay, Michael would be right, 104,000.
Yeah, because you're going to say like that. That's almost like saying the population of like Metro New York, which would include North Jersey, Southern Connecticut. So the actual town of Green Bay has that many people.
Look, it's Rob Zombie agrees with you, nodding his head.
That's not Rob Zombie.
Who is it?
That's Joey Ramone.
Oh, Joey Ramone.
You know, there's only one other person. Everybody tweets me. It's either Joey Ramone or Howard Stern. Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie has white hair.
Yeah. I'm wrong.
It was a nice try. You know what? He heaved it up.
And this time,
it was picked off.
But I respect it. You threw out the name Rob Zombie, and you even having that in your arsenal, I think, was impressive.
It's true. He had the arm. Like, he threw it 70 yards downfield.
Right. This one, Godwin didn't pick it up.
Don, are you a White Zombie fan?
I could take a leave of him. I like some of his movies.
I love his movies. That's why I ask.
But there's some songs I like, but I wouldn't call myself a fan.
Now, I have a little more information on the Marcus Semien signing. He's going to play second base, according to Ken Rosenthal. They gave him 1 year, $18
million. Honestly. Who are you talking to, Michael? Yourself? Who? No, I'm not. Now, I'm going to be the guy, but I'm going to speak for everyone listening. Why is that interruptible?
I'll tell you why.
Please.
Yankees were. We either have Yankee fans or Met fans listening. The Blue Jays are the team that's going to be the team that chases the Yankees in the American League East. No other team.
Most of the people listening still think he plays football.
Marcus Semien?
Yeah, they don't care.
And you did call him a quarterback earlier, Michael, I'm told.
I said quarterback?
That's what I'm told.
Marcus Semien, the quarterback formerly of the A's, is signing with the Jays. That's a nice pickup. You know, well, why don't I just step away?
You
is that what you guys would like? He's a former shortstop of the A's.
Now, people know who he is, but you get giddy. That's good. I like when you're happy. But it's like the only thing that makes you happy.
No, there are other things that make me happy.
Well, I'm inerrable.
No, there are things that are arable that make me happy.
Go ahead.
No, I won't get into them. I don't want to hurt
you. Don, it's like baseball, right?
That would make me happy.
That's a good drop.
Marcel.
I love how engaged.
Now, you know what, though, Don? I'm going to humor Michael and keep it baseball for a second.
Don't humor me. Humor most of the audience.
Well, them too. JT Realmuto is going to stay in Philadelphia on a 5-year, $115.5 million contract, according to Jeff Passing Gas. That's an average of $23.1 million a year, the highest for any catcher in Major League Baseball history. He's 29 years old. Andrew Gundling, Philly fan, poop eater. How do you feel about the Phillies keeping JT Realmuto at this price?
Ton of money for a 29-year-old catcher, but they kind of needed him. He's great. He might be. I mean, Harper's the face of the team, but Realmuto may be their best actual player. So I think it's, you know, I want to win, so I think it's a great move for them. But it's a lot of money for a catcher, definitely.
We have breaking news.
Oh, here we go. Gary
no
Sanchez
one
has
made
a
the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
The closest was Schilling. Do we know how close he was, Andrew? He's going to have to get it.
Am I allowed to make fun of baseball for this?
How so?
No.
Because it's just funny? Like how
Schilling
anti-
by 16 votes.
No.
So anticlimactic.
Would this have happened without COVID? Because would they have actually not had a ceremony? Because like you said, it's not going to matter because they're going to have, you know, Derek Jeter. Right?
Right.
And he'll bring a tremendous audience, you know, himself. What if there was no COVID and they had that ceremony last year?
I don't understand what you're saying.
If no one got inducted, there'd be no ceremony. There'd be nothing.
Nothing. They wouldn't have anything. Maybe there was somebody that was voted in the old-timers or something like that, but the writers don't care about that. They're not going to vote in Schilling.
It's never happened before. That city really looks forward to all the influx of fans who come in for whoever is going to get inducted.
Wait, there's never been no one before?
Are you sure of that?
Not to my lifetime, I don't think.
It has happened, I think.
I wish we had like very big, illustrious Academy Award show kind of music.
No one got in 2013.
Really? I don't even remember that. Do you?
Also, Clemens, Bonds was at 60.7%. Clemens at 61.6, so I think they fell. Roland is gaining some steam. He's 52.9.
How'd Schilling do?
I just told you, 71.1, 16 votes short.
That's close.
Yeah, maybe,
yeah,
you know,
too bad.
Can I just say something to old Kurt? Come, Kurt Schilling, if you're listening, lean into the TV. Maybe pull up the radio close to your ear. Maybe, after all the deplorable things you'd said over the last decade, with the Hall of Fame right around the corner, maybe you lay off supporting the violent rioters who had an insurrection at our nation's capital. Maybe you lay off. That could have been the difference.
You know, there was one voter who actually called the Hall of Fame because most people made their minds because of the other stuff that he said over the past couple of years. But one voter called the Hall of Fame, said, I've mailed in my ballot. This was after January 6th. I'd like to revise it and take Schilling off. And they were told, the writer was told, a mail ballot is a cast ballot. You can't change it. So it would have been, he would have been short 17 votes if that person
in other words, they said, in other words, they said, keepsies, no tradebacks.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Hall of Fame class in Major League Baseball for 2021.
Wow. You
hate to Billy Wagner, Don, jumped from 31.7% to 46.4%.
He's good. A Hall of Famer.
Oh, people think he is.
Well, that's great. There's people think the earth's flat.
Just one. Gary Sheffield, 40.6. Jeff Kent, 32.4. Bobby Abreu, 8.7.
I'm just looking. If you include the Green Bay metro area, it actually bumps itself up to the 67th television market in the country.
And a lot of people was tweeting at me, well, how about East Rutherford? But they're not the East Rutherford Giants and Jets.
Right, and also East Rutherford is considered the New York market.
Metro area, yeah.
So the next smallest television market would be 52. Any guess what that would be?
The next smallest television market.
Jacksonville.
No. Hold on. Give me a second.
Omar Vizquel, 49.1. No. Helton, 44.9.
Omar Vizquel is a lot closer than Billy Wagner.
Well, he didn't help himself with the allegations of, you know, domestic violence.
The allegation will always get you.
Andrew Jones, 33.9. Jeff Kent, 32.4. Manny Ramirez, 28.2. Sosa, 17%. Andy Pettit, 13.7. Mark Burley, 11.
Well, it's not Jacksonville, huh, Don?
No.
Because I'm thinking the smallest markets when I think of the NFL after Green Bay.
Jacksonville is 42.
And there's one 10 smaller than Jacksonville. It's not Tampa.
Oklahoma City, 45.
Oh, wait, but that's not even a football market.
No, but I'm saying any that has a professional team.
Has any professional team. Got it. Okay.
New Orleans is 50, Memphis 51.
So there's a 54 we're looking
there's
for,
There's a
you
52.
Said?
52, that's – I'm surprised Memphis is that low. And I'm surprised OKC is that high. Not
I'll give you a hint. It's got two professional sports franchises.
It has two?
Yeah.
Can I guess, Don?
Please,
yeah,
Andrew.
Yeah, of course,
please.
Andrew.
Buffalo?
That's right, Buffalo.
Yeah. Very good, Buffalo.
So you said they're 52 in what's Green Bay?
67.
Okay.
Here are the years no elected Hall of Fame inductees. 2013, 96, 71, 60, 58, 50, 46, and 45.
Baseball
it's really become a thing where people like go and make it a whole weekend.
Baseball really knows how to promote its own game.
Well, it's just what are you going to do?
I don't know, a system that doesn't allow for this.
So what was 96? Who were eligible that didn't make it in 96? That's
well,
crazy.
We've had a lot of people inducted in the last 4 or 5 years. They're all off the ballot. So we'll see next year with A-Rod and David Ortiz. And by that time, maybe Scott Rolen will have garnered enough, and maybe people will finally change their mind on Bonds and Clemens.
Well, guys, Caris LeVert is expected to make a full recovery after undergoing surgery to treat that carcinoma in his kidney. It was performed in Indianapolis, and of course, this all became clear after his team physical for the Pacers. So
lucky.
He had a small mass on his kidney, and he's expected to make a full recovery. But crazy story and good news for Caris LeVert that was spotted. Crazy how
so
fast
they didn't even spot anything like that in the physicals to start the season.
I guess not.
Maybe it developed after that.
Been a month.
I know.
Well, then, if that's the case, then maybe waiting until next year's start to the season might have been way too late.
Yeah, that's why he said it could have saved his life.
Wow.
Rick DiPietro just texted that there were a record 14 blank ballots where no one voted for anybody.
That's good stuff.
And that really hurts, like a guy like Schilling, because that counts toward the percentage.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because that's a submitted ballot with nobody on it.
You hate to see
they got
to
re. Can they just redo this thing?
Thank you.
There's too many people that are just being that guy.
That's what I just said.
Way too many people.
No matter how you cut it, this is not what you want. Multiple years where there's no one.
You could definitely, the Hall of Fame can come up, and I'd love to see those writers get their vote taken away too, some of them, those arrogant pieces of garbage.
Bear, your
not
thoughts?
He doesn't like it either, right?
Yeah. That he
but, you know, you could come up with people, right? You think the Hall of Fame can't come up with a few former players, a few broadcasters, a few writers, you know, the creme de la creme.
Get Bob I will tell Costas you this, I prefer this rather than the secret you know, crossing bones that they do with the NFL. We have no idea who voted for whom and who missed out. I don't get it. It's unfair. That's not transparent at all. At least this is transparent. Except for the coward that still hasn't announced that he didn't vote for Derek Jeter.
Right.
Guys, how about we take a short break and come back and talk some Kobe Bryant. Michael, I know you'll be excited to know that internet sensation Jake Paul has his next fight lined up.
I saw this. I can't wait. So ENN continues. And that's always important. It's an extra Zoftig one. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We roll on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so Kurt Schilling is put out on social media. He wants to be taken off the ballot. I hate to say this, and I see a lot of people on Twitter saying it. Yeah, don't vote for a guy because of his political beliefs. It has nothing to do with his political beliefs. The stuff that he says is inflammatory and nasty, and he said that journalists should be executed. That's not political beliefs. There are plenty of conservatives. I'd say the vast majority of players in the Hall of Fame are conservatives. And if people are voting on his political beliefs, I'd say the vast majority of writers are liberals. He got 71% of the vote. What are you complaining about?
Great point.
If he would have just stayed on the straight and narrow and not, I mean, he gets himself in the trouble.
Yeah.
Once he's taken off the ballot, they're not going to take him off the ballot. He might get in next year, but he's trying to be a martyr.
Breaking news here, Don.
Yes.
Breaking news. I hate to interrupt here. The Orioles have announced they signed Freddie Galvis to a one-year deal.
That's big. That affects the Yankees. Thank you, Peter.
Gee, you're welcome. It's the kind of guy I am. All right, guys, let's move on. Today, of course, is the one-year anniversary of the death of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven others in that helicopter crash in Los Angeles. Cannot believe. In some ways, I can't believe it's only been a year, and in some ways, I can't believe it's been a year already.
Yeah, it's amazing. Since that date last year, the world has been terrible.
I know. It was like is it fair to say it was like the biggest news event before COVID? Because you're talking, what's today? The 26th of January. So did something as big or bigger happen between the 26th and March 11th?
No, of course not.
No.
Well, I don't know.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl.
That's not bigger.
What do you mean it's not bigger?
He said a bigger news event.
Well, but you're saying like nothing happened between when Kobe died and the world went on pause. I mean, you had the Super
Bowl. I see what you're saying. So you're just simply saying, did anything else happen?
Right, a big event. That's
of normalcy.
Event.
That
well,
was
I was thinking more like news events.
Well, then no.
The Super Bowl's held every year.
Right.
So in other words, I was right, Michael was wrong. No, the answer is no, of course not.
No, maybe I didn't make myself clear enough. Like something that significant, because we talk so much about how bad 2020 was. and because of the pandemic, starting at least for us here in New York on March 11th, and for a lot of the country on March 11th. But
for some people, it still hasn't started. They're waiting.
Oh.
Well, listen, I always go back to what my my father told me, who's not a sports fan, about 5 days out, when he said the only death he remembered rocking the entire world to this degree that he recalled was President Kennedy. It was a really insane. Not only was it crazy because the event itself was so tragic and horrible,
right,
and sort of had the perfect mix of a huge iconic name, kids were involved, all these things that made it just awful. A dramatic death in terms of,
right,
a helicopter crash and bad vision. It just had, you know, it was like the Richie Valens flight. It was like all these terrible things mixed into one, and at the center of it,
right,
you have an athlete at the level of a very rarefied air of absolute international superstar, of which at any given point there's only a few.
Yeah, it's just a way. Like, it's like, because, you know, Elvis died at 42. I mean, that was significant. But imagine Elvis dying, like, in the way that Kobe did. You know, with young people on board. It's the combination of a huge name in what would have been a newsworthy event had it not been anybody famous on it, right?
That's interesting. It's true. Let's hear from Shaq. He's on. He was on Stephen A's World, which you can watch on ESPN Plus. And here's Shaq sharing some memories of Kobe.
He was a guy that when he came in at 17, 18, he knew he wanted to be the best player in the world. We definitely had the big brother, little brother relationship. And people ask me all the time, if we had all over to do again, what would I do different? And the answer is nothing. We definitely pushed each other. And it was able for us to win 3 out of 4. Unfortunately, the business of basketball kicked in. I wanted to do other things. And he was really able to shine and, you know, take over, you know, make a name for himself. But again, he's gone too soon. He'll never be forgotten. But I can boastfully say that we are the most enigmatic, controversial, most dominant 1-2 punch, little to big, ever created, and we will never be duplicated. I don't care what you say, and I don't care who you try to compare us to. It'll never be another Kobe and Shaq ever again.
Guys, you remember how unbelievable a job TNT did with their coverage that week?
Mm-hmm.
Under the worst of circumstances, where they sat on the empty court and Shaq and Reggie and these guys who were so personally affected just sort of bared their souls. It was unbelievable.
Now reading the Three Ring Circus, and I don't have any reason to believe that those stories are not true, I don't think Shaq did any of those things with the relationship with Kobe to make Kobe better, make the Lakers better. I think Shaq's ego got in the way. And I think he genuinely did not like him.
That book, they didn't like each other.
Yeah, they did not like each other.
And I know, so I've spoken to Jeff Perlman, who wrote the book, and he felt really awkward that, you know.
Yeah.
When he wrote the book, he didn't think that Kobe would be gone, and he didn't want it to be look like as disrespectful to Kobe. Mm-hmm. But that was, I mean, Phil Jackson didn't like Kobe. Shaq didn't like Kobe. But I guess there are a lot of players around the league who idolized him.
Right. And cool. It's not a great book. Doesn't really shine Kobe in a great light.
Nope.
But, you know, also, in the book, don't make it seem like Shaq had motives of making Kobe better or making the team better. He did not get along with him. And was petty too at times.
But Jeff Perlman wrote in the foreword that he added after,
right,
Kobe passed, that he was in no way suggesting that Kobe, the man who he wrote about in that book, was similar to the Kobe who passed away at 41 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's what I try to tell people, because I don't know if you get it, Peter. I got it a lot during the Kobe coverage, of people like not wanting to forgive him for what happened with the rape allegations. And I'm not asking anybody to forgive it. But you can acknowledge that he was a different person 20 years later. Now, whether you want to forgive him or not, whether you just don't want him to be honored because of what he did, I guess that's fair, and if that's the way you want to do it. But
well, Jeff Perlman, in the early parts of that book, which is the only part I'm still at, I'm a bit of a slow reader, paints the picture really clearly of that Kobe had a lot of struggles early on because he went to Italy and was a foreigner, And then he came back from Italy and was a foreigner. And he never really had a place to feel like home. And and culturally, his identity was completely confused. Well, when he gets to L.A., he was trying to figure out how to fit into the NBA, and he sort of admired, you know, Allen Iverson's authenticity and, like, how do I have a persona, you know, that represents me? And I think it took him a long time to sort of figure out how to be a grown-up. And, right. And everyone has a different path to that.
Sure, from the Perlman book, but I'm just talking about even from the rape. Again, I'm not making no excuses. Even if you want to say he was a bad guy, there was growth. You saw his relationship with his family. You saw what he did for a lot of women's causes later on in his life. Not forgiving, but just I think he took a second chance that he got, and he made something positive out of it. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind, but I don't think that's the same person. The person that died was not the same person that what happened in Denver. It wasn't the same person that came into the league.
100%. And people can hold on. You know, people can choose to look at people through one light or look at people as the broad, complicated picture that they are.
Tyson's the same thing, right?
Well, and I keep thinking about the Tiger doc, too. Just people evolve, and people make a lot of mistakes, and these people have a lot of big, they have a huge microscope. Let's go back to January 22nd, 2008, the Lakers and the Raptors.
This would be 18 for 20 from the line, and an 81-point game. 55 in the second half. Ladies and gentlemen, you have witnessed the second greatest scoring performance in NBA history.
Unreal. And man, like, we always think about the 81, but God, guys, in the early 2000s, I just felt like every Thursday night at 11 o'clock, I was watching TNT and Kobe had 53 points, you know, and Kobe had 47. It was constant. You know, his how prolific he was as a scorer, and how often he went off for huge numbers. I'd have to look up the stats to see if it surpassed Jordan. It felt like it surpassed Jordan. It felt like Kobe was going off just constantly in a way we hadn't seen before. So rest in peace to Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and the seven others on that helicopter flight 1 year ago. And we will end with something light. There was a lot of speculation after the Mike Tyson fight about what would happen with Jake Paul after he knocked out Nate Robinson. And everyone had talked about it. The memes were everywhere. Jake Paul had called out Conor McGregor and supposedly said there was a $150 million deal if Conor McGregor would fight Jake Paul. Well, after Saturday night's Conor McGregor lost to Dustin Poirier, that is apparently off the table, at least according to Jake Paul. And now Jake Paul will fight former UFC fighter Ben Askren in an 8-round pro boxing match on April 17th. Promoted again by Triller. Going to be very interesting, guys. As silly as this may be, you have a Jake Paul who's an internet personality, although at this point he is a boxer. And you have Ben Askren, who's a very legitimate UFC fighter but has never boxed before. Very interesting to see the kind of numbers this fight does without a Mike Tyson on the card. I'm very, very curious. And how weird a place. We talk about the problems baseball has. What a weird place it is for boxing to potentially look up and see that Jake Paul will probably get bigger numbers than any of the legit pound-for-pound best, maybe short of Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
And when do you start thinking about adding these people to more legitimate boxing cards? You know, Tyson has spoken
that.
About that. That Tyson thinks they shouldn't fight against the celebrity part of boxing, that it's already been there. And whatever you do to have to get eyeballs to get people to see these other great fighters is kind of what you have to do. That will do it for ENN on this Tuesday, January 26th.
All right, so we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. I believe also, Andrew, are we going to have the great Chris Carlin with us? He believes so. So it's really a crapshoot. So stick around to find out.
30 seconds yesterday.
Yeah, well, that was because of Peter. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.